Yes, and in particular, I will talk about this from the viewpoint of photometric surveys, as that's what I'm most working on at the moment. So let's start, as every good cosmology talk, with this pie chart. In this case, of the directional galaxy halo cosmology connection, where we have the parameters as DOE wants and all the rest. But of course, we know it's not just a galaxy halo connection as a one-way street. It's not directional, it goes both ways. So in this talk, I hope to motivate how we can both learn from each other in doing these analyses. So to set the stage, here are some surveys that have been thinking about these types of analyses and in the future, in terms of really pushing cosmic shear, galaxy-galaxy and galaxy clustering as cosmological probes. I think we should start with CBHGLS. Then we have this current cluster of surveys, KITS, DS, and HSC, which are ongoing now and finishing or wrapping up relatively soon. Of course, it's hard to predict the future, so I've just gradated these survey end dates. And then in the future, we have massive and really precise stage four surveys, Euclid, W1st, and LC coming up. And the idea is that we want to learn from these surveys something about cosmology and the galaxy halo connection already, and really prepare for dealing with this data in the future. So let me start off with the dark energy survey, which I'm currently spending most of my days and nights on. This is actually two surveys, a survey imaging about 3 million galaxies over an octant of the sky eventually, and a time domain survey surveying about hoping to detect around 4,000 supernovae at the end. From the imaging survey, we want to do cosmology using galaxy clustering, weak lensing, and galaxy clusters, and then plus the supernova component. You've probably seen quite a few DES papers on the archive already. These are all based on our science verification data, which corresponds to about 120 square degrees. And we're currently wrapping up the analysis of DES U1, all the red regions here. And from these early science results covered Milky Way satellites, stellar populations, galaxy evolution, LIGO follow-up, and cosmic shear. And I hope we've shown that we understand the instrument enough to do cosmology, and that's what we're currently doing with Y1. So we want to get the best cosmology out of this red survey area. As you know from many papers, you often get the best cosmology by combining different measurements. So you've seen these nice ellipse plots that fortunately usually overlap, and then you get a joint posterior, which in this case of supernovae CMB and BO can be obtained by just multiplying the individual analyses. In the case of DES, that becomes more complicated. At clustering, as galaxy clustering, galaxy clusters, and weak lensing all trace the same metadensity field, so they're highly correlated. And then we also have correlated systematic effects, both observation and astrophysical. So instead of multiplying posteriors, we need to do a joint analysis. So let me walk you through that. At the end, we want the posterior on some parameters. But of course, the question is which parameters that is. And as I said before, the galaxy halo connection is not really directional. So while I now talk about cosmology in this place, we could also slide in the galaxy halo connection parameters instead. Then we will have a data vector, and that will likely depend on what parameters we want to measure, namely on which scales can we model all of these parameters. There might be some external priors, but that's not the big point today. We will need a likelihood function that will require work in the future. We will need a model for our data, given our parameters of interest, and a bunch of nuisance parameters. So this might be some glorified wrapper around camp or class, including an HD model or Halo tools or some other forward modeling tool. We will need a covariance. I should say all these boxes are things that many people spend lots and lots of years on. And you can probably talk to, for example, Endo Hirin about all the details that could go into this in Halo tools, or Tim Eiffel and me about covariances and analytic modeling at length. But let's focus today on the nuisance parameters. My 95% in my plot from the cosmology point of view. First problem here is that we have many more nuisance parameters than parameters of interest in a typical cosmology analysis. And we need to parameterize all of these and put priors on them, which hopefully will happen in connection with external data and simulations, which is why I'm here to talk to all of you. So let me just walk through you through why this is really important. This would be a serious stream cosmology survey, except that, of course, we would be sad that we already knew the answer beforehand, but we get our data, analyze it, and uncover the truth with small error bars. Great. Now, as the first complication, there might be some systematic in the fact that we didn't include in our analysis, and we are biased. But we know the truth, so we realize this and put in a model. So we have a few extra parameters that we marginalize over, and then we uncover our true cosmology again, now with a larger error bar. Of course, that is a loss of constraining power that we don't want to live with, so we might go out and talk to our colleagues to put better priors on this model. And that might bring us back to closer to our original constraining power. Though it might also turn out that our model is imperfect, and we end up with a small bias in our parameters of interest. And as long as we can see here what the truth is and how far we are off, that might not seem too bad. But in the absence of truth tables, the situation might be less comforting. And if you then talk to more people with different models, you could actually end up in a situation like this. One way to make progress on this is that, as I said before, in DES we measure different types of observables and analyze all of them. So we could end up with our first pass multiprobe analysis in a situation like this, which means that now the detective work and really understanding the galaxy halo connection begins. For DES U1 cosmology, though, let me give you a brief outlook on how we're doing a simplified version of this as a proof of concept. In particular, we're looking at a something that we call the 3x2-point analysis, which will combine galaxy clustering, galaxy-galaxy lensing, and cosmic shear. And I can't show you the DES cosmology yet because our contours are blinded, but I can tell you that galaxy-galaxy lensing, clustering, and cosmic shear overlap. So we're doing well in that sense, and this plot can give you an approximate sense of what our error bars will be. But this plot does not include real data, as I'm not allowed to show it yet. And then we are also combining with CMB lensing from the South Pole Telescope, which is shown in this plot here in red over blue improvement, in this case highlighting our constraints on dark energy equation of state and neutrino mass, where the high redshift angle really helps. Of course, there will not just be that one cosmology parameter paper, but this really is a collaboration effort. There's many Slack messages. I really had to make sure that I turned off Slack today. Daily telecons and other lots of crosstalk between large-scale structure, PhotoZs, the theory group, and the weak lensing working group. And I just briefly wanted to flash out here that there's a lot of papers going into those three contours, ranging from characterizing the galaxy sample and systematics associated with that over the PhotoZ catalog and the shear catalog to individual analyses and then the methodology and pipelines for the joint analysis. Now coming back to our systematic parameters. For U1, we took a somewhat a relatively simple approach, but still complicated enough, I guess, with 22 systematic parameters at the moment, compared to 4 to 5 cosmology parameters. Namely, we currently have linear bias of our clustering galaxies, photometric redshift uncertainties for the clustering and weak lensing galaxies, shear calibration uncertainties, intrinsic alignment amplitude and redshift scaling. We add the uncertainty in additive shear and large-scale structure weights that directly to the covariance so that we don't need to marginalize. And then we test the robustness with respect to other systematic effects that are harder to marginalize through some impact studies, and then determine scale cast such that we don't need to worry about. So this is, again, a theoretical analysis, no real data, and these bands don't reflect DES best fit cosmology. But here are now just in omega meta and sigma 8, the error bars we expect from our baseline analysis. And then we contaminate the data vector that goes into our analysis framework with different systematics. For example, we show here that we don't need to worry about approximating the calculations through Limber approximation as a data vector calculated using including non-Limber and redshift space distortion terms. But analyzed with a simplified framework still gives us the right cosmology. Similarly, we checked that if we include a quadratic entitled biasing or the contribution of the one halo term to tangential shear, which is non-local, we find insignificant biases with our current scale cuts. That, of course, would change if we push to smaller scales. Then we would need to include the parameters associated with these effects in our marginalization as well. Similarly, we ran an analysis of a data vector that was based on the power spectrum from the IGN owl simulation, analyzed with HaloFit without baryonic feedback, and again showed that we are robust to that change. Then we also check here that if our priors on those parameters that we do marginalize over, namely redshift, photometric redshift uncertainties or biases, and our shear calibration, but if we get all those consistently wrong in all redshift bins by one sigma, so in total probably corresponding to something like a four sigma shift, we would still get our cosmology approximately right. And hopefully that's what we get away with for the SU1, as you will see on the archive in about a month. But in the future, especially in the LSST future, we will need to do much better when we hope to measure the equation of state to about a few percent. And while LSST might be futuristic, commissioning starts in 2019, and we really want to be ready to analyze LSST data during year one, which, by the way, will be wider and deeper than all of Euclid. So in order to get ready for that, we are already a growing international collaboration of about 400 people, organized in cosmological probes similar to DES, with the addition of now strong lensing as well as enabling analysis working groups. For example, thinking about photometric calibration, cosmological simulations, and image simulations for LSST. And together, we're working very hard to make sure that we can analyze commissioning data and are ready to carry out cosmology analysis as soon as the data comes in. So on the theory side and on the individual probe side, that means that we worry a lot about the systematics that we know exist. So that just means we know this is a problem, not necessarily we have solved them. Because we also think that understanding all the known unknowns beforehand will put us in the best situation to deal with this situation of, did we get our systematics wrong or is it new physics? So unfortunately, I have to tell you that the question, so what will be the dominant systematics for LSST, doesn't have a simple answer, but we need to be very specific. So I can probably also say, since we're doing cosmology with galaxies, it will likely involve the galaxy halo connection. So to make progress, we have to first specify a data vector, namely which probes and which scales do we want to include in this analysis. Then we can start to identify the systematic effects that might cause problems and write down models, where it's important that the parameterizations are consistent across all the different probes, which then means that we should probably be collaborating with most of you. In the next step, we can then think about, we can work on the priors on that come that need to be associated with all these parameterizations, namely figure out what parameter range do we need to allow for in our marginalization. And these constraints could come from independent observations or simulations, or also from self-calibration. So we internally calibrate that in our analysis of cosmology analysis of LSST data, or from other observables within the LSST data set, which is again an area where we should all collaborate. So even at LSST precision, we want to do cosmology well with galaxies and really compete with Planck and other CMB experiments in terms of constraining power. People might then be worried that the galaxy halo connection is very rich in physics, especially compared to the primary CMB. So there's a lot of things we need to worry about. And I will start with a list as I made it before this workshop, and some attempts that we started, and then add new points to worry about, or rather to collaborate on. Of course, the first thing that comes to mind for cosmology from galaxies is galaxy bias. So here I just want to show one inspirational plot, even though we all know galaxy bias is complicated. But these outer contours here show how much constraining power we would get from LSST if we only went to linear or quasi-linear scales. Now modularizing over linear parameters only in order to illustrate the potential constraining power. And then this contour here is if we were able to go to really small scales, say 0.1 megaparsec in this case, through inclusion of an HUD model. And you can see that that would be a tremendous gain in constraining power. Of course, in the step of going from here to here, I made a lot of simplified assumptions, so you should think of this as an inspirational plot, something to aspire to over the next few years. There are many complications raised, for example, in this conference, that will need to go into these analyses. And that's really what we need to make progress on over the next few years to get to this point. I've also checked what we get from 1 megaparsec, but it was slightly different systematic assumptions, so it didn't fit on the same plot. It would be, it wouldn't get us halfway. So there really is a lot to gain from going to small scales. Another worry is feedback processes, in particular the impact of feedback on the matter and galaxy distribution. Here's a plot of that from some slightly older simulations, namely from a number of scenarios in the OWL simulation and some extreme baryonic scenarios run by Nick Nevin. And this plot then shows you the impact of on the weak lensing power spectra. If we now ran an analysis on these baryonic contaminated, or on these weak lensing power spectra that include baryons, and used only Halefit in the analysis. You can find in this paper by Tim Eifler, myself, and others from 2015 how much ignoring baryons would bias LSST weak lensing cosmology. So truth is over here, meaning we would be in serious trouble. Then, as a first mitigation strategy, we built a principal component analysis. In this case, analyzing the OWLS AGN scenario, but building our PCA based on all the other scenarios, not including AGN, so that the truth is not in the PCA. And that can already remove most of the bias incurred from feedback processes at some loss in constraining power. And then we can think about, or in the next few years, we can work on narrowing down the range of plausible scenarios to reduce the region and parameter space that needs to be taken out of in the PCA. One more aspect that I wanted to highlight is intrinsic galaxy shapes, which are known to be a key contaminant to weak lensing. So there you may have a background galaxy that is lensed, so it has the shape contains information about the intervening matter distribution. And you may have another galaxy formed at the same redshift as this intervening matter distribution. And if it's an elliptical galaxy, it will likely align in the same tidal field that does the lensing, and you get an apparent anti-correlation between the observed shapes, very much unlike what we expect from weak lensing. Similarly, you will also have a spurious correlation of two galaxies formed at the same redshift. And this has been known to be a key contamination for weak lensing for a long time. At some point, people quoted horrendous parameter biases. We find that for weak lensing, it is just at the 3 to 5 sigma level, still pretty worrisome. But we also think that with relatively approximate models for the intrinsic alignment of red galaxies, at least, we can probably remove most of this atom. And we can discuss how serious this loss in constraining power is and how to make progress on that. But now to the additional challenges. Some of these points, first of all, of course, as everybody doing something with galaxies, we need to understand our selection function in many parts. Our redshift selection function, even in photometric surveys, we cut on size, color, and type, and to some extent type, especially for cosmic shear. So we really need to characterize these selection functions, and in the light of many talks at this conference, think about how the scatter in these scaling relations may correlate with environment, and what that could mean for clustering or even a clustering of source galaxies. As you heard this morning again, galaxy bias, assembly bias by itself already is very complicated. Same can be said for conformity and radial satellite distributions. So there's a lot that needs to be done to reach my aspirational plot. On the topic of feedback processes, one thing that I was wondering during this conference is whether we are starting to see simulations converge because we're getting the physics right, or is this a case of simulator conformity? Then, on the intrinsic alignment, intrinsic galaxy shape side, there's lots to be done in terms of the alignments of disk galaxies, which is very much tied to angular momentum. And then, of course, the final elephant in the room is photometric redshifts, which, for many reasons, I will not get into today. But the one thing that I really want to emphasize in this long list is that in order to marginalize out these systematic effects for cosmology, we really need a range of plausible models, not just the best fit model. But that may also be a good helpful information for all of you, because in this self-calibration, in that case, we can then also narrow down the range of plausible models that went into the analysis, cosmology analysis, and say which of those are consistent with LST data. So I would hope that discussing a range of plausible models instead of just the best fit will be mutually beneficial. And since I'm almost out of time, I'll leave you with my conclusions.
Question on your elephant. Do you think the clustering redshifts will help get rid of some of the systematics in the photometric redshifts? How promising do you think this is?
I think it will be promising for certain types and at low redshift. Obviously, we need the spectroscopic coverage out to redshift where we...
We have quasars out to redshift 5, so that should do for most of the sources. So you need a wide-angle survey to have enough pairs, of course.
Yes, that's true. I haven't really looked at the number densities for that myself to see how well that will work at high redshifts. At DES, at the moment where we are using red sequence selected galaxies, we do get constraints out to redshift about 0.8 at the moment, based on the photometric redshifts for these red sequence galaxies, and then in combination with the overall sample. But to LST precision, I really worry about bias evolution, in particular for critical outliers, which obviously might not be the same type as what we thought went into our redshift bin.
So at the risk of sounding like a flip-flopper, I would like to ask you sort of your opinion on the potential role for backwards modeling. This is serious. This is a potential vote in defense of backwards modeling for the specific science target of falsifying, say, constant dark energy models or the equivalence principle on cosmological distance scales. So what I'm imagining is also at the risk of encountering the wrath of physical modelers in the room, going down a direction of saying, well, let's just treat. We don't need convergence on what the true values of AGN feedback are, but rather we could think of convergence as convergence in the small number of modes that are necessary to describe the plausible variance in a given summary statistic. Right?
Yeah.
So in this case, if we can engineer from a set of cosmological data vectors a smoking gun signal of, say, f of r, not just a summary statistic where you have a smoking gun, but it's also critically has very little projection on, say, the variance in plausible models of AGN feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's, yeah, I guess, the critical feature. So do you see any hope for the right? Because most of what you talked about was marginalizing over and self-calibrating and using priors from more fine-grained methods. Do you see any hope for this direction of backwards modeling, where you really minimize the marginalization, you just very carefully design a summary statistic? Or In your opinion, with interacting with the cosmology community, would no one ever be convinced by such an exercise? So we should just plow ahead with the brute force forward modeling.
No, I do think that we should keep exploring these smoking gun type analyses as much as we can. This is mostly for the bread and butter or first key deliverables on the parameters that we have to do. That should not rule out, but rather encourage as well all the other research, for which I assume you will also need to understand what we learned in this approach about systematics. Anything that rules out lambda CDM, I think, would be much more powerful than a ginormous likelihood analysis.
Any more comments, questions? Okay, let's thank Elizabeth and all the speakers this morning.